Namaste. Welcome, if you're feeling ready. Welcome to the podcast.
But if you're not feeling ready, then you can just take your headphones out.
Take a moment.
Stop listening
if you're not ready.
But do keep it playing so we get the download.
Welcome to this week's episode, which is on self-care.
Or self-care.
Or self-care. It's all about self-care and I just caring for the self. It's a big topic. Well, we've got a lot of emails about this. Georgie, Holly, Dee, thank you so much for writing in. And a lot of people said we want to do one about self-care.
Yeah, which is fascinating because about 50% of the people that I've mentioned self-care to, because I can't stop talking about it, Tessa. It's just the hot topic on my lips.
I don't know what people can stop talking about. Self-care.
Self-care. People are like, yes, what is that? And then other people are like, oh yeah, self-care, because it's like a buzzword now. Like it's, I feel that it's very similar to the whole like eat clean. What do you mean eat clean?
Yeah.
Well, clean your food.
Yeah.
Like, in a way.
In a way.
But also, yes. So it's become like bigger than the sum of its parts.
So wise.
I use that term and I have never used it before.
Ever before?
Because I don't think I know what it
means.
That
is completely correct. Good stuff. It is a very confusing word that, quite right, is very zeitgeisty and people are like, am I doing it?
Mm.
And I have put my snorkel on and I have dived on deep.
Right.
I've diven in deep to self-care. I'm coming back to the shores with my oysters to show you what I've learned.
Okay.
Because when I went in, I definitely was like, what on earth is it? And Tom, what is it you thought self-care was?
I thought it was moisturising and stuff like that.
Yeah. Which moisturising.
Can be.
Yeah. And Stevie, what is it you think self-care is?
Oh, I think I might know. No, maybe not. I thought it was, I'll use an example. I will often go to like parties and things, even though I had like so much on. I was so stressed. I was like, no, I must go. And I would drive myself into the ground trying to please everybody. And then this self-care thing happened and I've started to be a bit like, you know, actually, self-care. Like, I'm going to have a breakdown if I do this. I'm going to say no to that thing and that thing and that thing. That's what I thought it was.
No, that's being a flake.
What?
No, I'm kidding. That's 100% what's self-care.
Oh, God, I'm so seven. That is literally the voice within us that stops self-care.
Exactly.
Like, you're a flake. You're an awful flake.
You're a bitchy flake and everyone's bitching about you at the party. Yeah, at a push, if we were on Mastermind, I would have said having a bath.
Yes, that too, I'd imagine, yeah.
Having a bath, I don't know, that seems...
Although
what it
not
is.
For me, obviously, because it's very
no,
stressful.
No, it's your nightmare, but I thought that's what... Not like, what's my personal brand, even though, obviously, I do love to bathe. Like, I do love...
When I think of Tessa, I think of her nude in a bath.
When my poor housemate came home the other day, and I was like, no, come and talk to me. I was Epsom salting in the bath. And she was like, have you got your jumper and hat on again? I was like, yes. And she was like, and she came in and said, I was only having a half bath.
Sure.
Yes, I really thought that's what it is. But we're about to learn, everybody.
Okay.
Oh, baby. But first, the hard topic on everybody's lips. Stevie, what's your adult thing this week?
Okay, might be really obvious for people. I have a genuine problem with dates and days and numbers. It's starting to actually, I think, genuinely annoy people around me. And I try so hard. Tessa's laughing because
she's really
been
annoyed.
That,
like, I think it might have started to affect other people.
Oh, right, really? Has it been affecting you for a long time?
No, it doesn't. It does affect me.
Of course it affects you.
But it doesn't.
Because I turn up to the wrong place all the time.
On a different day.
Yes.
But that I'm just aware of it.
Right, rather than being like, oh my God. Because in my head, when I do it, I feel like I'm really like making myself look like an idiot and also putting people out. Like if I get like producer Tom sent an email about two dates that we could record the podcast, I responded with a third date and a day he hadn't suggested and then put it in my diary wrong twice. And then Tessa had to stop me arriving like on the wrong day, like so much. It's ridiculous. And I'm really upset about it.
He did say Tuesday or Wednesday. And Stevie wrote, Thursday the 18th is great for me.
I mean, it had nothing to do with anything.
And then he's like, Tessa, good for you. And I was like,
I'm getting hot when I think about it because it's like someone else has climbed into my body and done it every time. It doesn't make any sense and I try really hard. So I've got like a written diary and all stuff. Anyway, I spoke to someone who's like really, really, really organised and she's like, yes, you probably do have an issue with it because I also just have a really bad issue with maths and always have, to the point where it like my maths teacher used to not believe me because I was fairly smart everywhere else. And they'd be like, I think you're putting it on. And it was like, I'm not. I don't know what the answer to that is. And they'd be like, okay, are you drunk? Like, I'm 11. So she said, start putting into place a process that is foolproof. And I was like, I've tried so hard. I don't know how. She's like, okay, I'm not organized. This is her speaking. But this is what I do. Whenever anyone says a date, I immediately stop everything I'm doing, get my diary out and act as if like it is the most important thing in the world, rather than going, yep, cool, I'll put that in later when I've got my diary because I'm on the move now, for example. So now when someone sends me like a WhatsApp to me, it's like someone sent me like a really important, terrifying thing, because I basically like stop everything I'm doing, drop my bag, get my diary out, and like squatting in tube stations all over London with like trying to find a pen. It's like, no. This is the most important. And then when I'm at work, my diary is out next to the computer just in case anyone emails me about a date.
That's great.
Yes, it's a lot of work now, yeah, but I really hope that it will become a natural instinct.
That sounds fantastic.
And I think once I am able to trust myself with like with dates and organising and things like that, then I feel like I will become an adult. So it's my first big step to becoming an adult.
That's really fantastic. I think thinking of all dates like they are a plane, like a flight you have to catch.
Yes, very
because
good.
The amount of times you like recheck and recheck a flight.
So many times, yeah.
And then like, what
day? Google the word plane.
Plane, is that a plane?
Like, yes, it is a plane.
Where's he throw? What's the plane?
Oh, it's so
am
bad.
I driving the plane? Like, yeah. You know.
Yeah, I've never missed, I don't miss like trains or yeah. planes really at all. It's little things like, when like plans change a lot,
yeah.
And I've got like four things at the same sort of time, and they all just become one time in my mind, and they are all the same.
Yeah,
it's really weird.
I have been to the airport like 8 hours in advance. Like, yes. I hate it.
My friend once missed his flight three times.
That's astonishing.
In the same airport because he was just like looking around the shops. Anyway. That's a separate thing.
That's so good. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
That's really fantastic. And just to talk about your maths thing, I think the education system in this country is so inherently flawed, and specifically
maths
with how,
is really bad. Yeah,
how
I
we
had
teach
one
maths.
Really good maths teacher, and then he ran away with a pupil, so I couldn't couldn't get taught further.
That's the
and
problem.
I moved from the bottom set to like set two in like a year. And then
coaxed by a paedophile.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. Paedophiles do good maths.
That's
what I'm saying.
Here.
And then because my confidence I think was boosted because he was really good and fun and like
and grooming you
and grooming not me but everyone in the class, boys and girls. Then I got put back into the normal thing and I just shot down again and I basically
yeah,
got like
it's a
U
huge
and it was really stressful
thing and it makes children be like, oh. I can't do maths. And so then you just shut up that whole part
yes.
of your brain and you're like, oh, I'm bad. I can't do that. That's not for me. Rather than we just need to be able to explore, be like, people learn in different ways. And there
also,
is
I
no...
am dyslexic and dyspraxic, which is why
absolutely.
I can't do
that. But that's not to say that there is not a way round for you.
Of course,
there's
yeah.
There's just a slightly different...
It's
just
the late writer A.A. Gill was dyslexic and he writes...
Yeah, there's just...
Wrote
like
a log of stuff.
He looked fan, some of the best. Some of the best stuff.
I'd argue.
as would I. Yeah, we always think like there's just one... This is how we learn long division. Mm. But actually there's like so many ways to get to the same place.
Mm.
Some of them just slightly longer and more scenic.
Yes.
You know?
Anyway.
What's
your...
Oh, mine! Thing? Oh my goodness. So also the reason I was in the bath Epsom salting...
No, I've got good socks. This is the longest adulting thing we've ever
well,
done.
My salting thing is largely psychological. I don't know if it's...
You salt yourself psychologically.
Yeah, I don't know if it's any help, but I do think like, ooh, this feels like what a sports star would do.
Great, of course.
This
yes.
feels like post-match physio. Anyway, the reason is, do you remember what my resolution or my goal was in January that I was trying to do?
Oh, I do. It was to be able to do a handstand / the splits properly.
Yes, it was. And so... That has been my goal for so long, and all I ever do is go on WikiHow and Google how to do the splits, and then
There's
I give
no
up.
No physical progress towards actually doing it.
And then I give
it.
Up immediately. Yes. Whereas what I did was like, because what we'd said on the podcast was, think about the actual physical steps you have to take to achieve the thing that you want to
don't
do.
Don't just go advanced immediately.
Don't just go straight to advanced. Be like, okay, what is the first thing I need to do? So I got in touch with the National Circus Centre and I have joined circus school and I am in Introduction to Acrobatics for Beginners.
So great.
I go to flexibility conditioning classes. I go to level one handstands. I go to my acrobatics class and I am learning to do my handstand.
I'm so excited. You'll be learning, presumably, hopefully, more than a handstand as well. If you're doing like all of those classes, you'll be able to be just more flexible in general. There'll be other benefits, is what I'm saying.
Certainly.
You wouldn't leave just being like, all I can do is a handstand. You'd be like, I can lift my arm higher.
Yeah,
for
yes.
example.
Oh, absolutely.
Fun than the gym as
I
well.
Cannot stress enough how bad I am.
I understand. Like, and I don't, you didn't need to explain.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Yes. You weren't surprised
by
that.
No.
Okay.
I've learned dances with Tessa and yeah, it's good fun. It's good fun.
But I, my, my self-confidence is staggering.
Yes, it really
like
is.
I just think I can do everything.
Yeah, often when we were doing like dance sequences in our sketch group, suddenly we'd be like, well, hang on, why have we got Tessa leading it again? Because Tessa doesn't know, one, two, three, go. That would fail. Like, but absolutely, the enthusiasm on her face is worth it, I'd say.
Anyway, I cannot recommend it enough.
Great.
And I bet there is so few places in your life that you get to run around one that's like sprung gyms or yes. roll on things or like learn how to go upside down.
Yeah, I want to do all of those
anyway,
things.
So I'm going to report back when I can do it.
When you're a clown.
When I'm a clown. So what I'm saying here, Stevie, is I've leaving the podcast to become a clown.
Great. A silent clown. That'd be fun. Thank you. But talking of clowning, what are these self-care clowns doing?
Hello. Immediate and perfect segue.
Thank you. Tell me about
talking about self-care, which, as we know, is a very confused and
nebulous.
Misunderstood. So good.
In case you didn't hear that, I said the word nebulous.
Very nebulous.
Tessa just laughed good. Over it again. Nebulous.
Okay, go on. Get a clean.
Nebulous.
There we go.
Thank you. It's my new word.
It's very good. What does it mean?
Sort of like gas. No, it means like, I mean, I literally don't know how to describe it because it just means nebulous. Literally what you're saying, it's you can't pin it down. It's
perfect.
Trying to pin down water.
Oh, that's so good. That's exactly right. It is about, I mean, the words are there. It is about taking care of yourself.
Okay. okay. That's a real shock.
And it is on the sort of scale, it's from... It's about looking after both your mind and your body. And
like mental health-wise.
It's mental health and physical health. And
okay.
understanding them a bit better and acknowledging that they aren't like all the things that are like self-care tips aren't immediate fixes to make you feel immediately better.
Yes.
They are things to sort of make part of your daily routine. They are things to try and become part of your day. So they aren't being like...
So it's because a lot of the list would be like, have a bath, look at some flowers. You're like, I'm in the middle of a panic attack.
Yeah, these are
not
helpful.
That's not helpful.
And so I think a lot of it is about making... You don't ever say like, it's never in the top tips, like, why not brush your teeth to feel better? Like, that is just part of your day. And
sure.
so it's about sort of moving as many of those things in as possible. And also understanding that when you brush your teeth, you might be like, ooh, feeling minty, but it's not totally transformed who you are. You just maintain your
helps.
General dental hygiene.
Okay.
And it's just about being like, that is a thing I do every day to make sure my teeth don't fall out.
Say if someone is depressed.
Yep.
One of the symptoms often are things like, you know, finding it more difficult to be in social situations or finding it hard to leave the house, all that sort of stuff. And I think a lot of people that I know who've struggled with that also struggle with like the guilt of not going to that thing or the guilt of having another meal that's like potato waffles with an egg on it.
Yeah.
Not speaking from experience. And is it about sort of as well, like just removing that guilt of like,
yes.
Once you've got a name for it, you can be like, no, I'm literally practicing some fucking self-care right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if I want to have frutella and waffles, because it reminds me of my childhood, that's what I'm going to have. And I don't care that it's not hashtag eating clean or that it's not like, it's a meal that my parents would go, no, that's not a meal.
So,
for example.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So I spoke to psychologist Marie Birch and also Laurie Deschenais of the Tiny Buddha Foundation.
Oh, lovely.
Lovely stuff.
What does the Tiny Buddha Foundation do?
It's all about self-care. It's a website that's a community website that is run by her, but it's very much for everybody.
Oh, great. So you can go in if you're feeling a bit down.
Yeah, absolutely.
A bit like
and there's like
burnout.
Lots of great writing and great tips and like it's very accessible and nice. Because I think one of the things about self-care in the manner which being like self-care is that a lot of the language is very alienating.
Yes.
And it is language like that you always feel like, fuck off, mate.
Cherish your own flower.
Like look in the mirror and tell yourself that you're beautiful. Like make a delicious meal for friends with your hot pot. And you're like, I can't cook. Like
I don't have a pot.
I don't have any friends and I can't make anything.
That's why I'm depressed.
What are you talking about? So it's such an unnecessary, like of course making a delicious meal for friends is a nice thing to do.
Unable to do that, mate.
Of course, or it's like go in your garden.
You've got a garden, have you?
Well done.
Lovely.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like all this stuff that's like buy yourself a lovely treat. It's like I haven't got any money. Like, it's all that stuff that you're like, I cannot do any of these things. And they feel wanky, or it's like, eat something that you grew yourself. And it's like, if I could grow something myself,
grow this, mate,
yeah, I wouldn't be in this mess.
I'm flipping the bird.
And absolutely. And or stuff that's like, you know, like, refind your love with your partner. Like, why not make love tonight? Yeah, why don't you make love tonight? Like, you know,
that, you know, stuff, anyone? Yeah, I'd like to make
I'm
love
available
tonight.
To make love if you are. Like, you know, that's the stuff that it feels a huge distance away.
Yes.
And you're like, that, and that is what the sells the books and like sells the,
of course,
the flowery language and makes people
rich
so
people
like,
buying
rich
books,
people
yeah.
being like, I will make love to my partner tonight. Like, I will make a delicious meal in my slow cooker. Like, you know, that you're like, that feels so far away. Anyway, so the thing that you're talking about the guilt, what Marie Birch says is that what you resist persists.
Okay.
So what you inherently bury down and be like, that you
right.
feel guilty about going
yes.
to this party and you say like, oh, I shouldn't be eating another potato waffle. Like, you don't, we are not taught a space to have bad feelings or bad emotions.
Yeah, or do bad things or almost.
Do- okay.
Not like, no, I'm not talking about killing a man. I mean, yeah. like things like when, I mean, I keep coming back to it because it is something that I have quite badly, is when I genuinely can't go to something because I have to work and someone makes me feel guilty about it. Or if they don't, I make myself feel
yeah,
so
absolutely.
Guilty that I become ill because I can't go to someone's coffee
yeah.
thing, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh God. And there's no space to be able to go, you know what? I've got a couple of friends, and I was talking to them about this the other day. I have very few friends I can honestly go, I'm actually not feeling very good today. Is it okay if we reschedule?
Yeah.
I always feel like I have to give a really yeah. solid excuse. And if I can't find one, I go to it.
Yeah.
And often it's not the best thing for me to be doing.
Yes.
And then everyone just spends the whole time being like, why are you so quiet? Why do you look like shit? I'm like,
yeah.
And then I go home and then I eat potato waffle.
Yes, absolutely. And we, to come in on that point, we often use like, oh, I have the flu, or I have something, or I
yeah.
it's so much easier to say like, oh, I have food poisoning, or I have a stomach thing,
yes.
rather than say
I'm
like,
I'm crying
because
I won't stop crying if I go to this party.
Yeah.
I'll just cry at you,
because we do not have we weren't taught it as children. We don't have
yes.
a space to say,
what do I need?
Yeah. Or hello, I'm crying again. Like, hello, I'm crying again.
Dear
is not,
everyone,
because
I'm
what we do to people when they're crying is we say, don't cry.
Yeah.
And we stop that emotion.
Yes, yes. I'm so against that. And I've very recently become close to these two girls. One's called Tessa. No.
it's
not
me.
Tessa. When someone says, like, how are you? I feel like I'm allowed to say, you know, if I'm fine. Fine, obviously. But if I'm not fine, to be like, I'm actually really not fine today. And I say it like that when because it's like, I can join in and say, I haven't slept for 3 days and I'm also really frightened of things. And I've never been able to do that, because you're always like, no, no. And then I think that's why self-care is good. Like,
yes.
that's like this forum sounds really helpful.
Yes, absolutely.
Remove the stigma.
And removing the stigma and being surrounded by people that you feel confident to say, hello, I'm not fine.
Mm.
Or I'm coming to this thing, but I could no one ask me how I am, because I cry a lot.
Yeah, I look shit, but can
I
you
look
not
shit, but
tell
I'd
me?
I'd like to. I still like to come. Is it okay if I'm quite quiet? Like,
yeah.
is it okay if I'm part of this, but there's no, and if and make sure you are surrounded, like that you do have friends. If you think like, oh, I could never say that to Timothy, be like, well, hang out with Timothy.
Yeah.
Like my everyone's
my
okay.
friend Timothy.
Timothy, I hate you. No, everyone's okay with the housemate that left me.
Oh, God.
But she
no, that wasn't like a, oh God, that was like a, oh God, that it's very sad.
Remember that time that she left? No, she's moved in with her boyfriend. They're very happy. but like, she, the other day, you know, she was in my sort of low jeopardy dinners where I want to be cooking for people and I want to be this lovely Martha Stewart hostess.
Yes.
And then, so she'd planned to come around the next week and I was excited to have her for dinner. And then she said, oh, I'm actually in the area tonight. What are you doing? And I wasn't particularly sad, but I was just like quite ill. And I was in
having visitors today. Thank you.
Yeah, I was in my pajamas and I was like, and I so wanted to be Nigella.
Mm. Oh yeah, I've actually got some red in the cupboard.
And like, oh, come
actually.
In, I'll just whip something up. I'll whip up a bouillabaisse. Like, I so wanted to be her.
Yeah.
That I was like, no, don't come. Come on the day when the bouillabaisse is ready. Like,
yeah.
You know, come when my hair is brushed. And I was like, I'm in my pajamas. She was like, I've seen you in your pajamas. What are you talking about? Like,
yeah.
Of course I'll. And then I was like, no, don't come, please. And then she was like, ugh, I'm coming. And I was like, okay. And then she was like, I'm buying yam fries from the top of the road with the place we always go to, the Turkish place. And I was like, well, thank you. Like, and then we came around and had yam fries in our pajamas. And you're like, oh, I did need to see you. I did want to hang
yes.
out. I did not need to, you know, actually being like, yes, these are the sort of people that you know, have
you
friends who have friends who bring the yam fries and sit
when you
with
look
you,
like shit.
Well, and sit with you when you look like shit, yes. And don't care like who you are. Like, make sure you're surrounded by those people. And Timothy is all well and good, but like, know the times when it's good to have Timothy.
There's often like a night for Timothy, isn't there? And by the way, if you're very confused, Timothy is the friend.
He's a fictional man.
Timothy's a fictional man, and he's a friend that like. You have to be on form with. Otherwise, you'd be like, what's wrong? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Have another drink. And you're like, no, I think I'll cry if I have
Or maybe he's someone that you don't know very well, or he's someone you want to impress, or he's a business person, or he worked from work,
or
whatever.
He's
your dad. And he is not somebody who needs to see you covered in bolognese in your pajamas.
In your pajamas, yeah.
It's, you know, telling about your bad day. Like, there's times for him and there's times that are not for him.
Yes.
And so don't feel bad about
and not every time
just acknowledging that. It doesn't all, you don't always have to be completely on form. We just have to be ready and like open with ourselves and honest with ourselves and not put on this like, but I should be cool and go to the parties.
And
like,
that self-care being
and
like,
that is self-care
I'm
being
not
like,
going to go because I don't want to.
Yeah.
But self-care isn't being a dick. That's the other thing.
And it's about finding that line between like, if, you know, and again, it's once again, it's like when it comes to other people, it's about finding that area of being like, will that person be upset if I don't attend?
Yes.
Like,
if it's your mum's birthday and you're the only one going, don't not go because you just sort of felt a bit sad yesterday. Like, you should make
efforts.
There
are times when you just need to go for some of the more immediate fixes.
Yeah.
Suck it up, brush your hair, do your best.
Yes.
And there are times when it's...
Weddings are a good one.
Brush your hair.
Also, like, very intimate dinner parties that have been... On the cards for ages.
You know it means a great deal to the person.
The person's bought all the food.
Yeah.
Just sort of go. You can always leave early. You can compromise. You can be like, I'm so sorry, I will have to leave, or you know, I'm not going to
drink. By all means, like, tell them like you're not feeling great, whatever.
There
like,
are certain things that you can do. And also, this is we're talking about people who are, you know, fairly mentally healthy. If you've got really bad depression or really bad anxiety, obviously this is different, and we are not qualified to tell you whether you should that you should go to a dinner party if you're having a depressive episode. I'm not going to tell you that.
No.
But we're just saying in general there are some things that it's like, no, that person would be devastated if I didn't go.
To return to this thing about like, we do not have this space, like, and we'd say like, don't cry, and also we say like, I'm sorry, I'm crying, and we try
I'm crying.
And therefore crying becomes this huge like it becomes this huge cyclic like psychosomatic, I think the word that like, you know it's going to happen and therefore it feels even worse, like you're going in a meeting and you know you're going to cry,
or
and that becomes
a self-fulfilling prophecy where it's like, I'm going to cry and then it's going to be awful, so then you kind of like do yourself down, you're so angry at yourself that
you're
by
crying
the time you do cry it is awful,
and then people are like, what are you crying about, and you're like, I think I'm crying because I'm crying. I think that's it, actually.
Oh my god, that happens to me
all the time.
Oh my god.
I went to, and yet everybody feels like that, and we need to stop apologizing for it, and we need to just be like powerfully crying in a meeting, like just listen, everyone who listens to this podcast, if we all, this is a pyramid scheme, if we all rise to a position of power where we become the boss and then we openly cry in meetings, there will be a whole generation below us.
We're like, sure.
Who understand that that is what the most powerful women do.
Yes, okay? Or just have a little cry and you don't have to, just don't apologize
for it.
If someone comes to find you in the loos and, you know, whether you're in a meeting or not, and is like, oh, and you're crying, don't be like, I'm sorry, because that's what I do. And then when one of my friends cries and they say sorry, the only thing you want to do is like, okay, get rid of that layer.
Yeah.
And now let's talk about the thing you're sad about.
And absolutely, because you like make sure when someone is doing that, when you catch somebody in the loo and or the meeting.
Or on the tube.
On the tube, wherever you find them, but your friend is crying, don't say, don't cry. Just don't say anything. Just like let them have that space. Like let that run its course, because chances are it's minutes long or seconds long. Like let it out.
And if it's any longer, just knock them out.
Yeah, that's it. 2 minutes and then they're down. Sedate them. So this is a really, really huge one. It's name your emotions. So, and you think like, whatever. I can do that. But really genuinely try, because I bet that you will struggle to do it.
What? Other than, I'm sad or happy. So like name
You don't have to name your
specificity.
You can name it when you're feeling good. Name them if you like.
No, sorry. Yeah, that's true. But I mean like rather than like, I'm sad, be like, I'm sad because I feel jealous of this.
Yeah, try one more than sad.
No control, or I feel right.
So like try and really, because then you can like really put a name on it and understand it, rather than it, cause often it's just like, just an overwhelming sense of,
Yes.
And that's when it becomes too much to deal with, because you can't name it.
Yes.
And that's something that someone said to me and I was like, shut up, I can name, look at me name, I'm naming things.
I'll name it now. Sad. Happy. Oh no, I've run out.
Exactly. Yes. And then when I actually tried to do it, I was like, oh, that's a huge part of it, is that I can't express how I feel to anybody because that's, I don't myself know.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
that adds to this frustration and the, all of this stuff.
Out of control.
And out of control. So all of those things. So try and do that and see if it's anger, because Marie Birch, the psychologist, says that rarely do women say, I am angry.
Oh my God, you're so right.
But they say, oh no, I wasn't. If you question them and say, were you angry about that? They say, oh no, I wasn't angry.
Oh, no, just,
I was frustrated.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a bit annoyed.
Such. Whereas guys are like, yeah, I'm furious.
I'm furious. Whereas anger is not something that women in particular say, I am angry. So practice on the street. Say,
just get angry at people.
You have to get angry at people, but just practice being like, oh, was that anger? And should I just let that anger, like, let's explore that anger. Like, yeah. Try it. So just get to know yourself and get to know
you. You should always, like, accept it. So if it's anger, sometimes we don't say we're angry because we're embarrassed. It's like, well,
yeah,
why,
absolutely.
Why would I be angry at that? That's so stupid. Because, but actually, we should accept
absolutely.
That everyone gets angry. Everyone gets sad. And the emotional reaction that you're having to the thing is never wrong. It's how you deal with it. So
yes.
People will have an emotional reaction and that is never wrong. But like if you deal with it lash out at people or you don't look after yourself or you blame yourself for that emotion, that's all faulty response.
Yes.
But the actual being angry at something is not, you can't help that.
No.
You can't help being angry. You're angry for
exactly.
a reason. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So attempt to sort of get to know those ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. These are great hot tips.
Thank you so much.
I guess they're like hot tips for self-care, aren't they? Like
yes, the whole thing is hot tips. But in order to like get into the nitty-gritty of the tips,
yeah, rather than being like, drink a nice bit of water. Like
and that is part of it.
That's like the sort of soft furnishings of the self-care room.
Exactly, but if you're just drinking the water and be like, what's this for?
Yeah.
Like you've got to sort of get to grips with what it is you're trying to achieve.
Yes, we need to paint the room before we adorn it with soft furnishings.
Certainly, and that's build the bloody room, for God's sake.
Oh, yes, sorry, yes, build the room. Yes.
Build the room, paint the room, and then we can put things on the mantelpiece. Mm. Don't just start there, otherwise you're like, what's this for?
What
I haven't got a roof. But I was going to tell you something about crying, that once I went to a lecture that was largely women, like 90% women, and it was in the evening, and then there was like a sort of question and answer thing afterwards. Then one girl stood up to speak and was talking about not like a harrowing, awful thing, just like a frustration that she felt, or indeed an anger.
Oh, yes.
And then like immediately started crying and then was like, I'm sorry, I always cry when I talk. And then everyone in the room was like,
yes, we all know what that is.
And then we all started clapping. And we're all like, and then like, because here was this enormous group of women
Oprah.
Being like, woo!
Yeah, exactly.
But here was this group of women who were like, I feel you so hard. Like,
yeah.
I see what that is when you want so hard to get something across and you just can't and you're crying again.
Yeah, the frustration crying, I think is my least favorite type of crying because you feel like you've lost your point. You feel like you've undermined yourself by crying, so then you cry more because you're so frustrated at yourself having cried.
Ugh.
Especially when it's like against, like you're having a debate with a man, because men don't cry when they get frustrated. They just don't. They just continue, and then you look like a little sad, crying, hysterical woman.
It's the worst.
Self-care.
Oh, God.
I don't know if that was relevant. Anyway, go on.
Okay, so, and now we're into more of the nitty-gritty.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll try.
Okay, so we're going sort of at random. Okay, so here's one that it was be still.
Oh, shut up!
And I was
I don't know what happened to me.
My God! And then I was like,
expressing
anger. As if I need help being told to be still in my life. Like,
yeah.
I'm so still. Yeah. So I really dismissed that and really laughed at it. Be still.
Yeah.
But actually, if you really think about that one, it's go and be still without your phone, without a book, without any kind of distraction, in a place and like actually sit and don't be like, much like you in the bath being like, what?
And in life, yeah.
Yeah.
Where's the next thing happening? Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
To be still with your thoughts and accept
still,
your thoughts and be kind to yourself.
Because I lie still constantly. But like, but to actually like sit down and be like, what my activity here is being still rather than stillness being a lazy thing or like I'm just not getting up.
That's good. Yeah, I had a thing where I got very overwhelmed last week about I'm writing something and I'm not very good at it and I got very, very stressed and I was just like, I started to flap, you know, like not like a bird, but like just flapping and just all my thoughts were over, and I went and got into this new like big throw that I've bought and I was just like, I'm gonna sit under the throw on the sofa for about half an hour and not do anything. I just got into this throw and you couldn't really see me. I just stayed there like I was hiding for like half an hour. And
great.
It really helped.
Amazing
self-care.
Because
it was a decision. It was like, oh, there's a deadline and I do need to write it, But what will help me more is being very still underneath that throw.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense when you say, but it kind of does make sense, doesn't it? Because it's what you needed and you can't,
yes.
you can't fight what your like brain is telling you to do, which yes. is stop.
Because yeah. that is a huge, exactly. And we often are like, oh, I don't have the time to be still. I don't. It's like, well, yes, you do. Yeah. Yes, you do. Take a step back, like, because you're just hurtling on into chaos here. And similarly, yeah, so take that, be still as an activity rather than just like, I'm still in the sense that I don't want to get
up. Stopped walking.
Yeah, like you actively make a choice to be still and bring nothing with you and like listen to the just whatever is in the room or the outside world or just listen. And then equally with the like, oh, when do we ever like actively be still as a thing? Taking the time to exercise, because Richard Branson famously says 1 hour of exercise equals 4 hours of productivity, that we're so quick to be like, I don't have time, I've got to finish this. It's like,
even if it's just like 15 minutes or something,
you desperately need to exercise and then ask yourself what your excuse is, and be like, is my excuse I'm too busy, I'm too lazy, or I hate it?
Yes.
And if it's, what's your one?
Hate it.
Yeah. And so the answer is, well then don't do that one.
Very good.
Do another one.
Yes.
And they can be really simple things.
Yeah,
they can
yeah.
be, you know,
there's a whole world of movement.
There's a whole world of movement out there.
Look, circus school, way
for example,
more fun than a treadmill immediately.
Go and join the aerial class at circus school.
Oh my God, it's so great.
And so again, all of these things, like things to make part of your ritual, part of your day, so that you know that you have these that are, you have these things that you do every day that you know.
Or like
that
tools for if you're,
exactly.
I always like to see them as, if I'm like having a bad day, it's like, okay, but have I done my like little checklist of like, have I exercised? If not, I should probably go even if
yes.
I don't want to, because it's almost like medicine. Or like, yeah, have I talked to somebody? Have I been still in a throw? Like that sort of stuff where you're like, this.
Yes.
Have I had a shower? If not, that's probably going to affect
number
it.
One, yeah. So like, yeah, make yourself and work out what is right for you, because there's no point listening to people being like, why don't you moisturize? If you don't, that doesn't do anything
for you.
If you hate moisturizing, then obviously don't be like, no, I have to moisturize to feel better. Be like, what are the things that I benefit from and that I feel good from doing? What is the exercise that I like? What is what I want? What do I need from this? And exactly, like having a literal toolkit. And sometimes they can be a physical toolkit. I once kept this post-it note that someone at work had just written, you're doing great, on.
Oh,
and I
that's
just
nice.
Kept, they just like, you know, they didn't mean anything by it. They just flippantly wrote it to me. And
no, they thought you were doing great.
Sure, but they didn't think like, this is what she needs.
Of course not.
They just like,
but it's a nice
but they
compliment.
Did think like, they just were saying, you're doing great. And they passed me this post-it note. And I kept it with me for ages because it was just something to like look at and be like, oh yeah. On the moving thing, like try and get into yoga or a physical movement stuff, like understand your body a bit more and get good at something. Not get good at it, but like know how to do a particular pose or stretch or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of us are, if we were told to do a stretch, are doing it quite wrong.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So we're sort of doing what looks right, or in our head feels like it looks like the thing, but it's stretching completely the wrong bit.
Mm.
So actually go and properly understand your body and then have one that you can, at work, take yourself to the bathroom.
Have a stretch.
They don't have to be like...
Yeah, stretching is good because it helps your breathing as well, and that automatically calms your brain down, doesn't it?
Yeah.
By default.
Yeah, exactly. So big breaths. And that's something you don't have to be like, oh, how am I supposed to do it at work? Whatever. Take yourself away. Close the door, do your special stretches, do some big breaths, and we're ready.
Pay attention to the little details in your life.
Yes.
So, for example, for years, I would have like, I would buy shoes from charity shops that didn't really fit. Like, just basically like the stuff that I had was often like handed down stuff that I didn't really care or like. And it's not got nothing to do with like money. I'm not saying buy expensive things and then you'll like it. I mean, things that you own or look pretty. Things, okay, perfect. Didn't decorate my like rented room at uni ever, because it was like, well, I'm only in here for like 12 months. And why? And it's like, no, do. Like, literally do. And don't just put up, and then whenever I did decorate it, I just put up stuff I'd got free from the Freshers' Fair or something. Like, nothing that meant anything to me.
Yes.
Like, no, do put the stuff up that means something to you, because weirdly, your environment is going to consistently inform your feelings. So if you kind of look after that stuff, then you've got like a baseline from which to feel happier. I don't know. An example is like beautiful notebooks. My parents were like, every year buy me like a really nice notebook. Again, not expensive, just like looks pretty or just is cool. And I would never use them, because I'd be like, well, I can't put my old shit in that notebook. And actually now I've gone through all of the like really nice ones. It worked, just like there's nothing interesting that I'm writing in these notebooks. It's just like things to do list, day-to-day stuff. And getting that out, a beautiful one out of my bag just to write my old crap in, just makes my old crap feel nicer.
Exactly.
Make your old crap feel nice.
Make it feel nice. And then we constantly do that. We're like, oh, that's for best. Be like, no, you're the best.
Yes.
You're it.
Wear
like,
nice coat now.
When is the best time? Like, yeah. Just do it now. Like, just make that lovely. Be wear your lovely things.
Paint like, your nails for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, that sort of stuff that you're like, oh, no, I should wear. No, just like, just use your nice stuff now.
Because yeah, don't wait, because otherwise you're constantly telling yourself, like, you are currently not good enough.
Yes.
You are currently undeserving of the nice things. And yeah. A nice notebook and painting your nails and do all those stuff. Also, I thoroughly maintain, just paint your nails, toenails, year round.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because they can sort of stay on for like a
yes.
year.
I say toenails, they hold like
they
nobody's.
Really do hold, yeah.
Bright red, you always look glamorous.
Great.
Crack on. And then you always, every time you look down your feet, like, at least those are doing great.
Yes, exactly.
Those
at least
feet are
is.
Smashing it.
Yeah, your feet and your notebook. That's all you need in life.
That's all you need. And yeah, stop telling yourself that it's only the you know that you'll oh next week I'll do my nails for this thing, otherwise yeah. That becomes a huge event in your brain that you then you'll look nice for this thing,
yeah, or like I'll decorate my room when I have a nice room,
yeah,
like no, make your room nice.
Pretend it's nice. Pretend it's for somebody else or whatever, like if you were tasked with decorating somebody else's room or you're on changing rooms or something, there's no way you'd be like, I don't know, stay that poster on, who cares, they're just gonna yeah. sleep in here, like you would be yeah. like, no, I'll take all this care and make it nice for them,
yeah.
Take that is what self-care is about, being like, how would you treat another person under your care,
yeah,
and make sure that you treat yourself the same way,
yeah, yeah,
and get rid of the idea that like looking after yourself or you know not just being like no nose to the grindstone back down the mine I go like is the right
attitude. get out of the mine
for God's sake. Yeah, so little tiny things to finish with. Find someone to hug.
Oh, that's nice. Consensually,
ideally, or just hustle them in the street. No, find somebody.
No.
Find someone to hug consensually that you like. Make sure there's somebody that you like at work or at home or somewhere that is up for hugging.
Okay.
Have some physical contact in your life.
I'd find that very difficult going up to someone just going, can I have a hug, please? I don't think I'd be able to do that one.
Do you hug the shadow?
My own boyfriend?
Yeah,
of course I
yeah,
do.
Yeah, so you're fine.
No, but not necessarily, because what if I'm at work? I can't be like, the shadow?
Yeah, well.
Are you coming to work? Like, I'm saying like, yeah, I mean, if you have like a boyfriend that you live with, like you presume that you can hug them.
Yeah.
But it's not like, oh, I've got a boyfriend who I can hug, so I'm fine now all the time. My self-care's on point. It's not. So like when I'm at work, if I like, for example, I got sent home because I was crying at work, I couldn't be like to my editor, I'll have a hug, please.
Well,
I could probably find,
if you are in a sort of more permanent job,
sure.
Make contact.
Yes, okay,
sure
I understand. I
have a work friend who you say, like, can we be hugging pals?
Okay, maybe actually.
This is bad advice.
No, it's not bad advice. I think it's probably just like form a connection with someone in work so that if you do need a hug, it's not out of the question that they won't hug you.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, so
make a friend at work who you are on good terms with.
And you can chat with openly.
And you can chat with openly and you don't have to, you know, keep
hide
moving people away from the Timothy into the nicer friend group. Get nice new smells around you.
Okay.
Get a plant. Listen to our house plant episode. Buy flowers. And I know that you'll say like, but the flowers will die. And my answer is, sure. So will you. Live your life.
Okay. Cool,
it's just like, this is today. Like, rather than being like, flowers
and
are
again,
for special.
These aren't expensive things. Like, you can get cheap flowers.
Get cheap flowers.
Just anything.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, get those reduced things in the supermarket. Like, get them. Like, you know, the ones that are going to die after a day. Put them in a vase. Like, you know,
Watch them die.
Like, just have nice things around you on a daily basis.
Die.
Don't constantly stop yourself because you aren't worthy of something today.
Yeah, actually, that's true. A friend of mine does really abide by the whole kind of thing of, if I'm down, I'm going to get myself a treat. And when he said that, I was like, cool, all right, the queen.
Yeah, exactly.
But actually, a treat for him will be like, he'll go into Pret and get like a brownie. Yeah, he'll get some like cheap flowers and just be like, for no reason, I'm going to... a really nice thing actually that he said that he does, that I've started doing sometimes, is like, so I don't know, sometimes I feel bad because I don't speak to my parents as much on the phone as I should. I'm sure you're listening and I am sorry and I do love you both. But sometimes when I'm feeling really down, I'll call one of them or message one of them and not be like, I'm feeling really down, can we talk about it? But just be like, hey, how's it going? And then you're doing like a nice thing for someone else.
Yes.
You're like connecting with someone or you're, you know, like it's just about... treating yourself in a way that isn't buy a house, a boat, or some new clothes. If you have no money, you can treat yourself without any money.
Yes.
To kind of give yourself a little lift if you're feeling down. I think that's like a really nice way to go about life, because you are, it's telling yourself, it's not just about the treat, you're telling yourself that you are worthy and you deserve a nice little treat. You've done something quite important or sad or happy, or like, you know,
like things went well at work today, things like you had a bad day, you you are constantly worthy of nice things, and that is a huge part of the whole thing of accepting, like, oh, I am worthy of this. Like, I am deserving.
And you don't have to wait for, like, a friend to do it. You can do it yourself.
I am my own
friend.
I would, like, if your friend was sad at work, like, you've definitely gone out and not even thought about it and got somebody a chocolate, or written on a post-it note, like, you are great to somebody who looked like they weren't having a good day. Like, you've done all those things for somebody, like, be that same support for yourself. So one last mind thing and one last body thing.
Mm.
The body things were...
just get, like, razor sharp abs.
Just fucking get in shape, mate. Just come
get
on.
Get ripped.
Just get absolutely banging. If you could, please. It is get dressed, brush your hair, put on completely clean clothes.
Yeah, very good point, actually. Do you know, but I'd be like, I was on the floor and I went to work the other day. I did tell Ben, I was like, I'm pretty much in my pajamas, Kat. I'm really sorry. And I looked like someone had just rolled me in off a bin.
Yeah.
So yeah, just put on something fucking clean.
Yeah.
Because then you'll feel like a human.
A human being, because you do... Sometimes I have arrived to like meet Stevie, and then she's been like, "Gosh," and I'll be like, "What? I'm here and I'm dressed. Like, what do you possibly want from me?" And that's wonderful. Like, well done, me.
Yes,
but go that one step further and like put on something clean. Like, think about
put on
it.
A nice hat.
So you don't feel like and these are my clothes. My clothes are shit, and I'm shit. What do you want? Like, don't be part of that constant self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm.
Because again, you're saying to yourself, like, either I am not worthy or this day is not worthy of me.
Yeah, it's a write-off.
Why would I wear that dress I know is clean? Because that's for another special occasion. Like, what special occasion? Just put it on. Stop it.
Yeah.
Put your clothes on. Brush your
hair.
It
feels like Tessa is talking to herself.
And in many ways, I am. And even if you aren't leaving the house, when people are like, why would I put on something smart? Like, I'm just... at home, be like, just get, like, you owe yourself that.
Even if,
like,
it's your nice pajamas.
Get your nice pajamas on.
Nice,
like,
pajamas
exactly. Put your nice pajamas on. Like, put, maybe there are some socks from Christmas that are still, like, have their label on, because you're like, oh, that's for best. Like, now is best. Like,
yes.
Put them on. Like, just make your Sunday best your every day.
Oh, wow.
And the very last mind thing is to just try and stop yourself overthinking things.
Oh, God.
Which, is, of course, is just absolutely
a whole podcast on that.
Impossible. Yeah. But I think a really, really lovely teenager, someone who was 16, wrote to us. And I just, reading her email, like, really was reminded of what it was to be a teenager and to, like, just to feel like every area was like, what am I doing? What's, you know,
unknown and
constant unknown. And try and, when you recall that as when you're a bit older, you start thinking like, oh yeah, I thought this and I thought this and I thought this. And then you can see with the benefit of hindsight, like, how many of those things weren't as important as you thought or didn't matter, whatever.
Yeah.
And so if you can remember that and look back and be like, oh yeah, I thought that mattered. You can do the same for yourself now and put yourself years into the future and like look back and be like, oh yeah, I thought that mattered.
Like the whole thing about like when I did my GCSEs and nearly fainted because I was working so hard and so stressed. And you're like, even when I was doing my A-levels, I'd look back and go, do you remember when I was doing my GCSEs? And I was like, don't even care about it anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got things in our lives that we care about so much that then do not mean anything, like, years on. And I think, yeah, that is true. And also, like, writing things down, not in prose, because that often will get you even more kind of, like, spirally, but, like, bullet pointing, like, the things that you're concerned about, possible solutions, like, trying to kind of impose order onto kind of the complete overwhelming chaos often helps too.
Yeah.
Just trying to get some logic and distance from it.
Yes, I think is absolutely. Helpful. And to sort of separate yourself and be like, I imagine this is not as huge. Even doing your A-levels, you could like look back on GCSEs and be like, oh yeah. And so if you can look back on that, you can probably imagine that this time won't feel as terrible as it does right now to be in it.
Yes.
And that is, I think, impossible.
Impossible. If you know how to do it, please do tell us.
Do tell us how to stop overthinking things. I just can't wait until the things that I think are important now fade.
Oh no, I
are replaced by yet more fresh hell.
More things, yeah. I was talking to my sister about this the other day, just being like, does life ever stop and you just go, well, this is a nice period of my life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very rarely, maybe like week, if you're on holiday or something, you're like, well, this is banging, of course.
Yeah.
But like, not like, you know, 6 months.
And therefore, there's no point waiting for that magical week where it stops, because chances are it's not going to. And then she'd be like, oh, that's okay. Like, try and...
Because life
like,
is this.
Life is this. Continuing. This is what it's like. Try and let some of those worries go and just be like, ah, yeah.
And maybe, like, look at a flower.
Be present. Look at a flower that you bought yourself.
Yes.
Look after yourself like you would your best friend.
Yes. And that's nice.
If you have any tips,
go on Tiny Buddha, tinybuddha.com.
That's the Tiny Buddha Foundation.
The Tiny Buddha Foundation, because they've got that forum. Like, if you don't feel like you have a space to chat about stuff or offload or just be down, or, you know, like, go on that. Find people that you can just be yourself with, that you can say, hey, I'm not having a great time. I'm not going to come today or whatever. And don't do things just because you feel that you have to. Really think about, do I have to do this? What can I prioritize?
Yeah.
Because priorities is the main thing with self-care almost. It's just like, okay, so what things can I, if I'm overwhelmed, what things can I lose to ease my load? What ease can my burden.
Exactly. I think that's a lot of that. Like, what can I lose from this? What thoughts can I lose? What things can I lose?
Yeah.
Like, what stuff can I just get rid of here?
Yeah, yeah.
And let go that I don't have to be carrying around with
just
me all the time.
Just let go.
And if it helps in the letting go, like, write, get some paper out, write them all down, get those things out of you, those huge worries. Don't even read it back, just burn it. Put it in the bin.
So thank you so much. And I hope that has helped people, lovely people that emailed in and sort of asked about self-care. Obviously we haven't, you know, it's difficult to cover such a massive topic in such a small amount of time, but I think we've broken the back of it. I think that's pretty good.
I think we've hopefully given you some tools and some idea of what it is to, like, go off and start your own personal
journey.
Self-care journey. Because it is that, and you do need to go on it on your own. Like, that is part of it.
It's like self-care, not like your mates.
Yeah, that's crucial. It's not care. Like, yeah, it's not called universal care. It's called self-care. And that is the really hard bit. Like, oh, what does myself need?
If you've had any thoughts about self-care, if you have any self-care tips.
Anything
that's really helped you, let's share the self-care love. And tweet me at Stevie M. The S is a 5.
I'm at Tessa Coates.
Great.
I was trying to think if I need... Yeah, that's all.
Don't need to. I think that is all. And yeah.
Oh, you can email us.
Oh, yes. podcast@thedebrief.co.uk.
With anything you want to talk about. And equally, if this feels like it's not anonymous, but it is, if it helps to tell us.
Yes.
Write to us.
Like, sure.
We'll listen.
Offload.
Offload to us, and don't feel embarrassed to say how you're feeling. Tell us. And if you've got any ideas or things that you want to hear about in the future.
Yes, then do. Yeah. Just find us on any of those social channels. Do. Otherwise, it'd be like, what are ghosts? Like, that will be
yes,
the next
please.
One.
Yes, please.
Oh, okay.
I can't wait.
Okay,
so
we will
join
do
us next week for What Are Ghosts? thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Have a lovely week.
Have a
guys.
lovely week.
Okay, bye.